time to dim the lights and open your minds. Let yourself go. Travel along the many roads that populate the vast landscape of the paranormal on Parachallenged Radio with your host, PC. Parachallenged Radio is a Jackalope Radio production. Join us in the chat at www.parachallengedradio.com, or you can go to jackaloperadio.com in the shows area and click on the Parachallenged Radio banner. Don't miss the fun every Tuesday night, right here on Jackalope Radio. And now, your host into the wild world of the beyond, PC.
And welcome to Parachallenged Radio with your host this week, Brian Easterwood and Anita Brown. PC must be back in the Shire enjoying her toadstools.
Live, and we are with you, and it is Tuesday night, and we're glad everybody is back with us. Hope you enjoyed the news segment by Brian Whiteley and the Iron Maiden for Where Eagles Dare. That's an awesome song, great choice, Todd. And we are back. We got Laura Redman from Chips with us. How are you doing tonight, Laura?
I'm fabulous. How are you guys doing?
We're hanging in there. You know, live radio keeps you on your toes.
Good, good, good. Sorry that.
Oh, yeah. So how's things been going with you?
Well, they're crazy as I wind down the last few days for this event that, you know, I'm not an event planner. Mm-hmm. I just do this because cancer's near and dear to me, and it's a lot of work. So I'll be honest with you, I'm a little crazed, but it's coming together beautifully.
The pressure's on. The pressure is on. I know how that's. I've talked to a couple of people that has coordinated some events before, and it's. I know what pressure you're going through, but it's an awesome event. You know, Paranormal Kicks Cancer. You know, it's goes for a great benefit. You know, why don't you tell us a little bit about what you got going on there?
Well, first of all, Paranormal Kicks Cancer was started 3 years ago by Tom Anthony in Florida. He had his own personal reasons for doing it, and last year he reached out to three other states. I think he reached out to a lot more, but only three of us stepped up and said, yeah, we'll do it. So last year was the first year. Illinois and then Georgia did it. Georgia will not be doing it this year. It's still just Florida, Texas, and Illinois. But we're all doing it on September 15th. We all have guest speakers, and all of us are doing paranormal investigations afterwards as well. So, mine is at an insane asylum, which is awesome. It's called the Pollock Hospital of the Bartonville Asylum. And it's in Bartonville, but it's right next to Peoria, Illinois, which is a pretty big town. It's a very, very haunted place, as I know you can imagine, an insane asylum. Yeah. And it's what's really cool is that Limestone JFL is this construction company. They bought this building. What are left standing have been turned into offices, other businesses. But these guys at Limestone JFL, they bought it to keep the troubled youth off the street. So they do a lot of programs for these kids between 14 and 21. They have movie nights out on their lawn. They sell concessions. They do sports. They have different events for these kids. And they're really, really cheap, $1, $2. And then they also teach the kids about ghost hunting as well. And they love it. And they're just a really great group of guys. So they do have this building open for different groups to tour it and investigate it for a fee. They were kind enough to let me and my group go in there for free, and they loved the idea of hosting this event. The money that is raised is going to stay right there in Peoria. It'll help the cancer victims there, you know, get them wigs, take them to and from their appointments, pick up meds from the pharmacy, just, you know, gift baskets, those kinds of, you know, small comforts, but right there. We don't send it off to the corporate office. We hand them over a check.
Man, that is so awesome. That's awesome. Yeah, that is wonderful. It's so good that that's going to such good good causes there. And it's, you know, and I love events like this, and I love what you're doing there, because it's, you know, we get a lot of black eyes here in the paranormal community and all that. So it's, you know, really enjoy what you guys have got going on. It sounds like you've got an excellent event planned out there. You got a little bit of a history behind the place that you're going to be investigating to us?
Let me see. You know, I have that all out here, and I'll be darned if...
Oh, the pressure's on now.
Yeah, I know, I know. I was, you know, the ladies that do the tour there, they know everything. It was in a hospital for tuberculosis. So, people came in and lived, many did not. But that's what that Pollock, it was named after Dr. Pollock. And that's what that wing did. And they also do a haunted attraction. They do a regular haunted house for the month of October. Not sure, you know, that's not everybody's cup of tea, especially at a place like that. But they are working to restore the building, make it kind of museum-like, but still keep it open for people to investigate so they can continue to raise money for it. But yeah, it was a tuberculosis hospital.
And Dr. Awesome.
I do know Dr. Pollock had... he thought outside of the box when it came to treating the patients there. They took really good care of them. For instance, at a certain stage of tuberculosis, you were put in a wing, and I don't know the stages and the names of the wings, but that wing would have all open windows so you could have fresh air. He was a big believer in holistic methods of healing it. Another room would be all a certain color, and I want to say it's purple, because he believed purple would help heal another part of the disease. So Dr. Pollock was really a pioneer in trying to find new ways to treat TB. And you can go on Facebook and find them. There are the Haunted Infirmary at Bartonville Insane Asylum. And also there's a page under Pollock Hospital. And on the internet, the web, it's thehauntedinfirmary.org. You can go and check it out and learn a little bit more.
Oh, right. That sounds awesome. And I mean, it's just awesome that you get to go in and investigate a place like this, and you got to think of all the tragedy that's going on there, that's going on at this location, and, you know, you've got to be able to, you know, catch something when you go in there. I mean, it's just, it's almost like a given.
Brian, it is the second most active place I've ever been in. I experienced things in there that I've only had little tiny bits of, such as the footsteps. We were in the basement. It's a cement floor. There's nobody else upstairs. Pounding footsteps across the floor. Shadow figures darting in and out. We actually have, we captured on a digital camera, taking several different shots of a shadow peeking down a hallway, like peeking out of a door, looking at us, and then going back in. It was mind-blowing. It was like, holy cow. Yeah, I mean, that's just in there for a couple hours to check the place out.
Yeah, and it's the weird part about that is you see and hear more about shadow people in these, like, insane asylums more than anywhere else. Do you think there's anything behind that? Do you think there could be just the way that they died or the energy they left there, it's just causing them to come through as that more often?
I think it's just because places like abandoned asylums, there are so many spirits there that, you know, they're there because they're insane or very ill. I think they just don't cross over, and they're still stuck there. And because of the high amount of population while the building was in operation, you had a lot of people, just like prison. You know, there's a large group of people. So the more people you had living there, it would make sense that there'd be that many more that stayed behind. That's
exactly. Exactly.
You got to work with whether you're talking about mental illness or a physical illness like TB that has such a drawn-out, horrifying end to it. I mean, if you think about all of these people having some sort of delusion, whether it was from fever or pain meds or mental illness, whatever it is, that has to affect what happens. You know, if there's life after death and we do cross over, you would think there would need to be some sort of an awareness there of what's happening to you. And I don't think a lot of these people are aware that that was happening at that time. You know, they don't realize, you know, if the spirit does separate from the body, they may not have a clue that that even happened.
Absolutely. And when I go to these places and investigate, I'm always very conscious about what I say to the spirits in there, because you are dealing with people that were mentally ill, physically ill, and I tell them flat out, you know, I learn a little bit about it, the history of the place, and I'll tell them, I'm sorry you were treated like this. I'm sorry they did this to you. Just so you know, those kinds of treatments are no longer allowed. And I always get some kind of a response. The most recent one was at another just criminally insane asylum here. I said those words, and I said, you know, they're not allowed. Those have been outlawed. And I heard a, get the F out. And the F was the whole word. That's what I got. Right. And it wasn't like, get out. It was like, you're kidding me. Get the F out. So I think that's just an awesome, you know, let them know. The ones who are coherent, you let them know, hey, what was done to you was wrong.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, I've kind of got a, you know, my theory goes on those places like that. You got to wonder, you know, we're talking about the medication those people were on.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
It's, you know, how much did that medication affect their mental state that were in the hospital, and other spirits that had passed on can communicate with them better because they were in a certain mental state because of those drugs? We saw that kind of in the case of Emily Rose. I can't remember what her real name was, but you know, they, you know, went through that, and we've heard some tapes and stuff from that, and I, you know, I think that's one of the most legit, you know, possessions there's ever been. You know, they said that they've actually did the research into it and said the reason the exorcism didn't really work on her because she was on some kind of mental medication. You know, so you got to wonder what this medication does to the people that were in there versus the people already passed on, and how well they could communicate between one world and the next just from the medications they're on and what it's doing to their frame of mind.
For seizures. I think she was being treated for epilepsy.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she's being treated for epilepsy, and they had some kind of, I forgot what they had, what kind of medication they had her on, but they thought that might have something to do with that, I forgot what it's called. It's, there's a spiritual name to it. Something like the Swift, it's referred to as the Swift spiritual kick to the head.
Right.
It's, I forgot what it was, but they said that right there kind of, caused her not to be able to receive that from the, exorcism. They think that's why it didn't work.
Very
and at least Michelle, yeah. Rich is on it. Rich is on it.
Hi, Rich. And Anita, if I could sidetrack for just a second, it was so great meeting you at Mid-South. This last time.
Yes. Yes, it was. I enjoyed that very much. It was great to finally get to see you after we talked on Facebook so much.
event.
And I get to meet a lot of great people there. My big bro, Rich, that we were just talking about. I got to meet my bro.
Aw.
I didn't get to go well, hang with the kids.
So many people. So many of the vendors there were so kind to me, and they donated photographs. The Booth Brothers donated their new movie, The Unseen. All the Ghost Hunters International people gave me autographed pictures and all these items to be raffled off at the PKC here in Illinois. They were really good to me.
Yeah.
Very cool.
It's always awesome to see all parts of the field pull together when it comes to things like this.
Absolutely.
Man, it is very nice. Like we were talking earlier, it's you know, we get a lot of black eyes in the field going on, and it's good that people are coming together and you know, donating to this cause, and even, you know, people who can't be there, such as the Booth Brothers, are giving stuff to auction off.
Yeah,
and all
everybody's
that.
Donating their time.
Wow.
Yeah.
Guys is acting up on me here. I hope I don't. Well, I'm really grateful for all my guests. This event is 3 hours from me, so I've set up a block of hotel rooms. I got, you know, the cheapest place I could that is still a nice place. I know people who have stayed there. because it's a haul, you know, all that driving, and then my guests who are speaking, donating their time, they're all going to have tables selling their stuff as well. But, you know, I'm very blessed that these great people have committed to doing this for me. Well, not for me, for the cancer patients.
Absolutely. Right.
It is.
What guest? That,
yes, Rich. Barbara.
What'd you do that for?
To help you?
I don't have a problem.
Oh, Lord. Hello? Hello?
Hello?
Hello, I'm
there
here.
She is.
I'm
wow.
here.
She went away. I was like, oh, Lord. Oh, Lord.
We've she was getting very distant for a bit there.
All right. Woo. All right. We can't have dead air.
Yeah.
Everyone here.
Yeah. Everybody is here.
Just start singing or something, Brian, if it goes dead again.
Okay. I got a song on cue.
All right. All right, Laura, are you still with us?
I sure am.
All right, good.
All right. Sounded better.
All right. Just so you have your event, Laura.
Okay. I will start you off with a lovely young author named Amelia Cotter. She's a local girl in Chicago. She also is a cancer survivor. And she tells a really good, well, it's not a story, but she doesn't talk about her book. She doesn't promote herself. She does bring them for sale. But she talks about the financial burden of having cancer and not having insurance, because she did not. And she gives you really interesting tips and information to tell you what you can do to pull through it. So I've got her speaking, and then I've also got Michael Clean, who's a local historian and author and just a sweetheart of a guy. He'll be talking about his books. I have an interesting group of guys called Ghost Head Soup. These guys, they're paranormal investigators. But they're very interesting. They put a very different twist on it. They are getting a reputation for challenging conventional theories, and they do. They have a lab that they go to a couple times a month. They conduct experiments, and they're great speakers, so I'm really looking forward to what they have to say. I'm not sure. I haven't been clued in yet. I've got another guy called the Paranormal Highwayman. His name is David Lowry. He gives a great presentation. It's called How to Give a Ghost a Wedgie. So he puts a lot of humor into his presentation. And he also teaches you a lot about, and I know you guys will appreciate this, photography and orbs. He talks a lot about that. And so last time I saw him speak, every eye was on him listening and absorbing what he had to say. It was great.
That's awesome.
I have a wonderful psychic. This lady's named Jorianne, the coffee psychic. She reads people by pouring a cup of coffee and pouring half and half into it. And the design she sees. Now, I know it sounds crazy, and it is, but I've had readings by her. She's really, really accurate. She got hit in the head with a baseball bat when she was 8, and from then on, she started having psychic visions, and she's my go-to lady. If I were to send someone that really needed a psychic or a medium, that's who I'd send them to, because I can really vouch for her. She's going to be talking about exorcisms and clearings, so that should be pretty informative. I've got a doctor, Dr. Chuck Kennedy. He's been ghost hunting since 1972, before it was, you know, fashionable and on television. And he takes a very, very extremely scientific approach to it. I will admit this. I can't read his books because they are just hard reads for me. I'm not a gadget girl. I'm not into science at the level he is. He's super intelligent, a sweetheart. But he's going to be talking about his new books and how science can explain the afterlife. And then our headliner, who hopefully you guys have all heard of, is Christopher Fleming from the show Psychic Kids on Fire. Yeah, he lives right near me, so he's agreed to go down, and I saw him at Mid-South. We were there to watch his presentation, and it's an oh my God presentation. I never knew that kind of information. It's all about him and how he grew up psychic and the experiences he went through. So I'm thrilled that he's agreed to come on board, and he'll also be selling ghost hunting equipment there, which is great. We've got a bunch of vendors. metaphysical stores, course authors, ghost hunting equipment, tour guides for the various tours. So we'll have that. We'll have food, and that will go from noon to 8. We'll take an hour break to take down and eat, and then 9 o'clock, we start investigating. And let me tell you what we've got for that. We not only have this wonderful hospital, we're very close to clinching the 3 cemeteries on the grounds. We're working with Peoria because they don't want you in there at night without some kind of a waiver or insurance. So I'm very close to getting that secured. And then the staff at the hospital are going to be giving people free hay rides of the little town, giving you a historical tour of it. They've agreed to donate that to us. So
very
we've got
cool. Well, that's very awesome.
Yeah.
This just sounds like an awesome event.
Yeah, it's an event. Anyone within good travel distance to get there needs to get there. This sounds like an amazing event that you just don't want to miss.
Well, it does.
It's affordable, too. Your tickets to get in are $15. Now, we're investigating. We are charging $25. It is limited. There are a few rooms we won't have access to. We can have access to them, but you can't bring a video camera or a digital camera in with you because it will have the props for their Halloween haunted house, and they don't want any photos of that being leaked out. So we're probably just going to avoid those rooms together because, you know, people want to take pictures. They want a video. So the $25 is for the investigation, and it's limited because we don't want to have, you know, contamination. We want to keep the group small.
Exactly.
That's the way it should be done.
Yeah.
So where can people go to get the tickets?
They can go to, boy, I sure am not up on my game. Give me just a second here. Well, we made our own website. Tom had one. It was paranormalkickscancer.org, but I wanted my own because that's just how I roll. So it's illinoispkc.webs.com.
Awesome.
Gotcha.
Awesome. You might want to repeat that because I think Skype was cutting out a little bit.
Oh, was it? All right, I'm going to put it in the chat room, too. It's illinoispkc.webs.com.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. That is awesome. And it's, it just sounds like an amazing event.
Yeah. Anyone interested in the investigation should get their ticket now.
Absolutely, because they will be sold out.
Yep, get your ticket. It sounds like they've got their stuff together on the investigation. They got a small group going, so if you want to get in on that, you want to go ahead and get those tickets.
And to investigate with Christopher Fleming and Jorianne, I mean, I know you guys don't know who Jorianne is, but she's really big out in this area. You know, to have two great psychic mediums with you to investigate with, $25, that's nothing.
Right, this sounds like a very informative investigation, something that it's an opportunity to learn from for sure. And I got to meet Christopher Fleming at the convention myself, and he's an amazing person. And he has a lot of knowledge about not just his gift of being a psychic, but also he has a lot of knowledge when it comes to equipment, too. He's got it on both sides.
Oh, absolutely he does. You can learn from him, no doubt. No doubt. Thanks for the love, Rich. Rich is pimping me out in the chat room.
There you go. He's getting it pimped out. Rich is good at pimping stuff out. It's, you know, you got to have the tea, you know, the goat tea. It just kind of attracts the crowd, you know.
I think that's the third time you've mentioned Rich's goatee. You got a little bromance going on there, Brian?
I'm just obsessed with it. It's just like awesome, you know. It's. You know, when you go and look at the 7 wonders of the world and all that stuff, I think his goatee is the 8th wonder of the world. It's just like when he appears, you just hear angels singing. I don't know.
Wow.
You want to go,
oh, so funny.
Respect the tea.
Wait till you experience in person.
Yeah, you got to meet him before I did. What's up with that?
Just part of being a little sister, I guess.
You got to go hang out with the cool kids. I'm going to hang out with the cool kids one of these days.
Oh,
that's right. I got to to hang out with Richie and Laura.
That's right. Man.
God, that
missing
was
out on all the fun here.
Well,
that definitely sounds like an awesome investigation you got going there, and it's you know, people can go, if you're in the, you know, a lot of people can go, you know, you can go and be entertained, and if you're in the field, you can go learn some new techniques and stuff. So this is definitely something to check out.
I hope we have good attendance. You know, last year we did have pretty good attendance for the first time ever doing something like this. I mean, I think the biggest thing I did was a PTA fundraiser, you know, selling stuff at the grammar school.
Mm-hmm.
But I do want to mention that the different PKCs, their money is going to different subdivisions of cancer. Mine is going right to the American Cancer Society. I don't know where the Florida money is going or the Texas money. Everybody kind of picks what works for them, and I had my own cancer scare last year. My mother is a breast cancer survivor, and I have an auntie who's currently battling breast cancer and lung cancer and is not looking good.
Oh, man.
So that's why I chose to just do the straight-up American Cancer Society.
Exactly. You know it's going to go for a good cause there. So, it's, you know, people get out and go to this event. You know, everything's going to a good cause. You're going to have a blast. You're going to meet some great people. Sounds like some good stuff going on there. And it's, you know, it's...
Just pray that our weather holds out here in Illinois.
Yeah, that's usually how it goes, right? You get something planned out and it comes a storm or something.
I know. That's why I'm glad I've got indoor locations and outdoor, and if the outdoor doesn't work out. You know, Illinois is so fickle, we can go from 95 one day down to 65 the next.
Oh, man.
Right.
Yep.
I wonder if we get down to 65 here, been burning up.
And, you know, personally for me and my other ladies helping me, I should give them a shout-out to Sonny Boland from Into the Night, Marsha Mack from My Chips Group, and Jim Heater from the Champagne Chips Group. You know, I could never have done this without them. But us girls are particularly excited about this Bartonville Hospital because last year we used a hotel. So, of course, we were wearing our stilettos and our cute clothes. Yeah, not this time, honey. Tennis shoes.
That's right.
And jeans. We learned the hard way.
Yeah. Yeah, break out the combat boots and the assault,
Absolutely.
The assault uniform, you know.
My feet were screaming for a week after that. I'm like, I'm too old. Who do I think I am? I can't wear that kind of stuff anymore.
Yeah. Exactly. That's how I feel.
Yeah, I don't try that often myself.
Yeah, those are sitting and looking pretty shoes. I mean, I own them, but I won't wear them out much.
Yeah, there are clothes that, and I know I've covered this topic plenty between the show and the Facebook page, but there are clothes that you investigate in, and there are clothes that you can't investigate in.
Absolutely, absolutely.
People need to know where that line is.
Well, you know, that's one of the things about doing this investigation is I hope to have a lot of new people there so that we can teach them little things like no shiny dangly earrings, no shiny blingy bracelets, don't wear shirts with sparkles on them. You know, just those
right.
little things to help them out. You know, they're things people don't know.
We went on to an event at the Kennesaw House, and it was like an open to the public event, and they really pumped out the people to show up there, and they did a good job of separating everybody, but I couldn't believe how many people showed up with high heels on and cowboy boots and these humongous key rings with about 90 keys on them, and I was like, man, really? And all that, and it's the whole time you were in there, and it's got the huge floorboards and all that in there, all you could hear was people like clunking around with those things and keys rattling. I'm like, dude, you know, you can't get anything in here.
Flip-flops are another pet peeve of mine. Oh, all you do is hear that flipping and flopping back and forth.
Oh, yeah. I always got to pull the door card, wear my Crocs out on investigations, though.
Oh, Rich is busting me up now. What's wrong with investigating with flip-flops? They're noisy, dude. They're annoying. Gosh.
Yeah, I know how to walk them, though.
You
got to know how to walk them. You get the toe crinkle going on and keep them from flopping. I bet Rich knows what I'm talking about. You get the toe crinkle on, put the pressure on the back heel, shuffling across the floor, and nobody even hears them.
Wow.
Well, people have to have
this. I bet Rich can sneak up on somebody with a pair of flip flops on. He lives down in Miami, you know, he's a professional.
They have people need to understand too, it's beyond noise contamination. They have to also dress to where they're not gonna get hurt.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's another big thing.
Dead air.
To make sure.
poor Rich.
Yeah, people have to make sure that they're dressing not to get hurt. Not just, you know, noise contamination is annoying, but so is trying to climb steps in a hospital in high heels. It just doesn't work out.
No, yeah.
No, it does not.
Yeah, and they're probably concrete steps. If you fall, you're not going to have a good night.
Yeah, well, it is all concrete like there.
The Mansfield Reformatory has a lot of walkways and steps that are just nothing but metal grit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a lot of places with old staircases like that that were, you know, if you're going in somewhere that was a prison or a hospital or, you know, some type of warehouse or factory and you're wearing heels, the chances of you getting that stuck in something are pretty high.
Exactly.
You know, maybe I should go on the website and put something on there about anyone investigating, wear comfy shoes.
That might be a good idea.
I'll go ahead and check
them on it. Yeah. I mean, that would be really, dress comfortably. You're going to be sitting around for, don't wear like jeans you look like you've been melted and poured in. Don't be wearing stilettos and leather pants. And I know the pics are real, you look good for the pics on Facebook and stuff, but you know.
I know, first. How about it?
Safety first, people.
Up, Rich is asking me, when do the doors open and close for this event? It starts at noon. First guest speaker will go on at 1. We're going to do a meet and greet and let, I've got John Stevens doing photography and I've got David Scott videotaping and they're IPRA, Illinois Paranormal Research Association. So I'm going to let a couple of the other groups have 5 or 10 minutes to talk about themselves. And then we start at 1. We go till 8 p.m., dinner, takedown of stuff, and get ready for the investigation from 9 till 1. PJs and jean pants, really, Rich?
Yeah. I think that's Rich's favorite. He wants to get the, he's going to show up with the PJ jean pants and the flip-flops and get all Miami up in you.
Getting
his Miami on up in there. See, so he's agreeing with me. Says, Rich, I want to pick with you with the flip.
I actually had one. I got a guy. Rich, let me ask you, do you know Rich Ramsey? I mean, he's from Florida. I'm taking a shot in the dark here. Are you listening? Well, anyway, Rich Ramsey, who's from somewhere. Oh, yeah, baby. I think he's flying in to come to the Illinois event, so I'm excited to meet him.
That's going to be cool.
Very awesome.
I know it's real.
That's probably one of the best things about these events, getting to go meet and greet everybody that you've just got to interact with on Facebook. And
exactly. It's nice to see people three-dimensionally.
Okay, says so he says, yes, I do know Rich Ramsey. He does. We do have a delay on here, so.
Okay.
He knows him. Hitch a ride with him, Rich. Just do not wear the cutoff PJ jeans. There's going to be some issues.
I will say hello for you.
There you go. Make sure you take a pic before he gets them off. Gets ridiculed too much and has to change.
I think everyone should investigate in bunny slippers. They're quiet.
Aw, bunny slippers. How cute.
They could be quite creepy, though, if that's all you see in the IR. Your screen is a couple little bunny slippers.
That would be.
Yeah,
I think that would look like one of those old 1800s films where the bunnies are just kind of creeping before you.
Uh-huh.
You know, just kind of frame by frame. Oh my God.
You'd have no noise contamination other than your teammates screaming when they happened to catch your shoes and nothing else.
A little bit of it might have been kind of a...
No, no, I might be screaming if somebody did break out the PJ jeans. You know, that's the only thing more horrifying than the little bunnies.
Have you guys ever seen all those post-mortem pictures they have online?
Oh, yeah.
I love them.
Those are really creepy, and you just can't help but to look at them all the time. Like, you don't want to look, but at the same time, you're, like, really wanting to look, especially, like, the babies and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I should feel bad for that.
There's like, creepy-looking. There's a really good Facebook page if everybody wants to join it. It's called The Macabre and the Beautifully Grotesque. And they just have some really creepy pictures on there. It's just like, it's not just, they have like post-mortem pictures and just like stuff from the 1800s and like gothic art on there. And it's really cool. Really cool stuff.
I've seen some of those pictures. It is really cool.
Yeah. And if you like, some people like that kind of thing. I do. Some people don't. But, you know, check it out. Cool stuff.
You know what I always wondered? It's like in the 1800s, we always think of ghosts nowadays, like the old timey 1800s looking Victorian ghosts and things like that. I wonder what their ghosts look like if they had them. You know what I mean? Like, were they cavemen or. Do you understand what I mean? Like.
Yeah, they kind of look at it from a different time period and stuff like that. I don't know. I guess if they were in the 1800s and stuff, they would look at some of them like in the Dark Ages or something like that. Probably like kings or knights or something. I don't know. That's a good question.
I guess in America, it would be like Indians and stuff, you know?
Could be. I mean, it's, you know, a lot of people have reported seeing the Indian spirits and stuff from different parts of the country, you know, where there were a lot of the slaughter going on. So, you never know.
I'm being asked for the website again.
Mm-hmm.
IllinoisPKC. webs.com.
You're going to have to repeat that. We had a Skype fart. That's what we'll call those from now on.
Illinois PKC.webs.com.
There you go. You got it in that time.
Yep. That one came through loud and clear.
Yep. We want to apologize for Skype, ladies and gentlemen. We usually have we have nights like this sometimes where it's just don't come in loud and clear.
Rich
got pissed off, so they like made a solar flare happen and it ruined Skype. So it's I don't know who we officially blame for that, but you know.
That man.
That's right. That's right. We always blame Todd. It's Todd's fault.
I've been preaching this for a while. Everything's just blame it on Batman.
Blame me all you want, but you still gotta go to break.
Crazy old nights. Welcome to Parachallenge Radio News, PCRN. My name is Brian Watley. This is your news segment for this ghostly Tuesday night. Your dead-on top news stories are... About 8 reports of UFO sightings from 5 states in 11 hours. Helping children fearful at bedtime doesn't have to be a monster ordeal. Julia Roberts to produce paranormal investigation drama for Lifetime. And FX picks up 3rd season of American Horror Story. Our first story tonight begins with 8 reports of UFO sightings from 5 states in 11 hours. Brought to us by Sharon Katz from NewsGather.com on November the 18th, 2012. It was a busy night for UFO sightings on November 16th and 17th, as 8 witnesses from 5 different states reported seeing flying crafts over an 11-hour period. The objects were first seen in Pennsylvania on November 16th, just before 5 p.m., and were last sighted at 4 a.m. on November 17th in Indiana, according to the Examiner. The first witness in Pennsylvania was driving west on I-422 and reported seeing 3 glowing objects that came together and formed a triangle. They stayed in the triangular shape and hovered for 6 to 10 minutes until they faded from sight. Under an hour later, and 250 miles to the east near Southampton, Pennsylvania, a woman saw 3 objects at about 5:30 p.m. on November 16th. She was driving home from work and noticed 3 sets of 5 bright lights in a close formation flying low to the ground. In Old Saybrook, Connecticut, about 190 miles northeast along Long Island, around 5:55 p.m. on November 16th, a witness driving in a car noticed a streaking light moving so fast that the object created a trail of light. "Well, I noticed a star-like blinking as it soared through the sky," the witness stated. "I know it wasn't a shooting star. I looked for several minutes and noticed 2 more of the same star-like objects chasing each other on the opposite side of the sky, and their lights were also blinking simultaneously." And then later, at around 4 a.m. in Reelsville, Indiana, on November 17th, a witness saw 3 lights moving east across the sky. He said it wasn't an airplane, and it was traveling in a zigzag pattern. So just what was going on in the northeastern skies for over 11 hours? Were these flying crafts studying the region or just looking for things, ever trying to decide on where to land? Since the objects were seen in so many states by local and total strangers, no one can say that they are all accidents or incidents from the government and, well, that they really just didn't happen. Could all of these people have mistaken a helicopter or an airplane for a UFO? Each witness described their encounter the same way, spotting 3 objects with brightly colored lights taking the shape of a triangle. Well, with something so big was so obviously going on a couple of nights ago, but what and are the people of this world ready to do just in case an object does actually land one day? There have been 2 meeting sightings during hundreds of years to lead people to believe that aliens have not landed already. The world has to be prepared. So keep those eyes to the skies, because something could be flying above. Our next story is helping children fearful at bedtime doesn't have to be a monster ordeal. Brought to us by Lori Sorard from the Reporter News on November the 18th, and you can find this on reporternews.com. Does your child turn into a fearful, shaky bundle of nerves at the thought of bedtime? Whether it's a fear of the dark or someone kidnapping them or monsters, bedtime fears can be stressful for both children and parents. There are children whose fears are so intense that they experience pure terror at bedtime. In Goodbye to Bedtime Fears, Dr. Sherry Heining, a clinical psychologist of 20 years, the fear of staying alone for these terrified children can be so severe that it may as well be called a bedtime phobia. Whether your child suffers from an intense fear or a mild one, there are a few things you can do that may help to ease that child's distress. Company at night. Abilene mom Rebecca Martinez offers fears her now 15-year-old son had when he was younger. "My son Walker was a child tormented by the thought of someone coming into the house when he was 3. We had never had anyone break in, yet this was his biggest fear," she said. And the Martinez tried the typical mom reaction of giving him hugs and putting him back to bed, but the fears didn't ease, and finally she was able to use the technique of company at night to ease his fears. "We gave him a hero. Somebody who could be there, thus a pillow fighter. It was a big SpongeBob-like yellow pillow with a fighter look to him, and he had a black eye and a pair of fighting silk boxers with fighting shoes.
and he was there to fight the bad dreams and to protect him from all his imaginary harm. And if your child is having bad dreams of fears, consider introducing a pillow pet, stuffed animal, or other comforting items to help alleviate those fears. What about shed some light? If your child is scared of the dark, adding a nightlight or even leaving her overhead light on may help alleviate many of the fears she has about the dark. In a 2012 study conducted by Ryerson University in Canada, researchers found that the adult insomniacs often are afraid of the dark. If there are adults who are also scared of the dark, that affects their sleep patterns. Expecting a child who is frightened of the dark to sleep without lighting is unrealistic. So once you've shown your child that you understand her fear and need for a nightlight or other illumination, then you can begin to talk about her reasons for being scared. So get to the root. As with any bedtime fear, parents may find that the root of the problem stems from what the child is viewing on television. Even having on the nightly news while your child is playing in the room can frighten some children with reports of murder, burglaries, and storms. Try limiting television viewing, make scary movies off limits, and even pay attention to newscasts. Occasionally, parents find that an older sibling's teasing is responsible for creating bedtime fears, so be aware that any possibility as well. Talk to your child and try to get to the root of the fear. An expert such as Heinig seems to agree that a bedtime routine is an important step to overcoming fears. A routine can include a bath, a wind-down time when a story is read, prayer time, tucking in, and the parent leaving if you are able to. Calm your child's fears and be patient. And with time, most children outgrow their fears or learn better ways to cope with them. And for show notes, I agree. Talk to your child about their fears. Most of the time, you can alleviate those fears and make bedtime a pleasant experience rather than a fearful one. Our next story is Julia Roberts. To produce paranormal investigation drama for Lifetime, brought to us by Nellie Andrevia, on November 16th, 2012, and you can find this on Deadline.com. Man, I just like that URL, Deadline.com. Anyway, this is an exclusive. This past summer, Lifetime picked up Devious Maids, Mark Sherry's follow-up to Desperate Housewives, and now the cable network has added to its development slate Paranormal Housewives, a light drama executive produced by Julia Roberts. Her longtime collaborator, Elaine Goldsmith Thomas, as well as Robin Meisinger of Madhouse Entertainment. Written executive produced by Miss Congeniality scribe Katie Ford, it is about an all-female group of paranormal investigators who call themselves the Paranormal Housewives. The show is inspired by the real Paranormal Housewives, a Southern California group of female professional paranormal investigators. It was launched in 2010 by Aaron Potter and her friends Kristen Thorne and Marcia Covert Garcia, in part as a response to their field being dominated by male investigators. Potter, Thorne, and Covert Garcia will serve as consultants on the Lifetime series, which is produced by ABC Studios. Roberts, Red Ohm Films, and 3Arts, where Goldsmith Thomas is a manager-producer. And Ohm Principals, Lisa Gillian, and Maurice Yaris-Gill serve as producers along with German and a whole bunch of other people that has this deal with the Paranormal Housewives group. Well, this is the second sell for Roberts, Goldsmith and Thomas and ABC Studios, who recently set up a workplace comedy of Taming of the Shrew and Paranormal Housewives being brings back Ford to Lifetime. And you know what? It's just all good fun. Or is it? Maybe Paranormal Housewives is going to be a big smash. Anyway, our next story. FX picks up third season of American Horror Story by Lisa DeMores. Brought to us on November 15, 2012, and you can find this on WashingtonPost.com. Yes, FX has ordered a third round of American Horror Story. The drama series turned Ministries will launch its third iteration in the fall of 2013. 13 episodes are ordered this time. And on the downside, FX and creator Ryan Murphy were keeping mum as to what the third iteration would be about. The first set was set in a haunted house, while season 2 is set in an asylum for the criminally insane. And FX did confirm, however, that Jessica Lange is returning for the next season, though it would not say in what role. Lange, the lead thespian of American Horror Story, Rep Theater, this year is playing sadistic sister Jude, the head nun in charge of administration and discipline at the asylum, who is very much front and center. FX vowed in Thursday's announcement that this Lange will be submitted for all trophy considerations as a lead actress in a movie or miniseries. and none of this supporting actress nonsense like last year. Lang won both the Golden Globe Award and a Primetime Emmy for playing Weirdsmobile Constance Langan in the first series of AHS. And news of the pickups comes the day after the most recent episode of American Horror Story Asylum topped all broadcast networks at 10 p.m. among 18 to 34-year-olds, who are the holy grail of TV incels ads. If you have any other stories, items, or events you would like mentioned on PCRN, please send an email to parachallengeradio@live.com. Attention, PCR News. And that's all for PCRN. I am your Parachallenge Radio news anchor, Brian Watley. I am the director of Ghost Hunters of the South, located out of Mobile, Alabama. You can find us on the web at www.ghots.net. That's GHOTS.net. And you can email us through contact@ghots.net. Our team is a proud TAPS family member. Thank you for tuning in, and it's time for Lights Out.
And hello, everybody, and welcome back. We have returned to entertain you here this Tuesday. And we've got Rich Valdez, my brother from another mother, back on with us here. How you doing, sir?
I'm doing good. How's everyone?
Doing good, doing good. Just chilling out and kicking it from the hip here, you know?
I hear you. So what are we talking about tonight?
We're talking about some of this great and wonderful drama that always goes on, you know?
Yay. Of course.
Well, it's you've got the tail end of some of this stuff. What's your take on all this? I'm sure you were listening the first half, and we, all of our other listeners, what's your take on this?
Well, I've been privy to be able to talk to a few people that have had this crap slung their way. They're what you would consider paracelebs and whatnot, and they're not too happy what's happening here. Of course, not tossing any names or name dropping, but it's. I think at first it may have started off to the public eye as a way of exposing fraud, but in reality, what's happened is that it's actually the worm has turned, and now there's a lot of finger pointing going on. Literally, I consider this a witch hunt now. And it's only going to damage the community even more.
Yeah, and this stuff's been going on for a while, and it seems like it's been going on for longer now than it's been out there, and it's been put out there longer than the actual people who are coming out and exposing it. You know, let on. You know, so it's the we've heard from different sources that it was out, you know, it happened a few months back and all that, and it's now being put out there due to some being mad.
Yeah, when it becomes personal, it's funny how all the skeletons start coming out of the closet. I often say whoever, you know, opened the door to that closet usually may have their own set of skeletons in there as well. I don't think there's any one person out there that doesn't have a glass house that they live in.
Yeah.
I believe in karma. I think that eventually all parties involved are going to get theirs without having anything to do with us. But the way it's being handled now, initially it may have been something commendable, but as it's evolved, it's just gotten worse and worse and worse. And now it's to the point now where I think there's a lot of innocent bystanders that are actually getting hit by this, and there's no need for that.
Yeah, and it's it just seems to progressively be getting, you know, thrown out there, and it's I don't know how commendable it was to begin with. I thought it was commendable at first, and I thought it was I'm not dropping names here, but it's just you know, it seemed like at first it was somebody carrying on the traditions of their predecessor and all this, but we said that it's more than that. It's more of a malice thing because things didn't go their way, which is, you know, it kind of takes away from all of the good that they're doing there. And makes it just about, you know, like you said, it's about that part of it becomes a witch hunt. And it's now, you know, hey, I'm going to do this for revenge when they should have done it when it first came out and was exposed. And everybody should have got exposed instead of just a handful of them.
It's out of hand now. That's the problem. You know,
hey, what's going on there? It sounds like someone fell off a cliff. What is that sound? Is that you, Rich? Are you falling off a cliff?
Yeah, I did it again. I can't help it.
Listen to that. He fell out of a chair while he was doing this show.
No, that was Kathy.
At least with her, it's not a far drop.
If I recall, yeah. She ended up losing the microphone, too, in that show. Honestly, I just think it's gotten way out of hand. And people need to be careful what they post out there, especially when they're using other people's names. There's a lot of people attached to this, a lot of people that were victimized, and it's an unfortunate thing that the ones that were victimized unknowingly are having their names put into the fray, and that's not a good thing.
There we go. You sound a lot better now. Somebody must have sacrificed the bucket of KFC.
Yay! And here I was.
Sacrificing, and now we're going. Now we're up and running, but yeah, I agree with you. It's there's a lot of stuff that's just been going on. It's you know, it's something that, you know, I'm very passionate about. So, you know, keeping stuff real, but it, you know, when it turns into a mudslinging match and there's other people involved and it's came out and it's not commendable of what you've done because you're just doing it for revenge. You need to do stuff like that because you want to keep stuff real, not just to do it for revenge and not to and, you know, not protect certain people. You got to, you know, if you're going to drag it out, you've got to drag everybody out. And it's, you know, that's an unfortunate thing because and it's something you got to ask yourself before you even get something like this going on.
This is human nature at its worst. Let's face it. And there's a lot of people right now that are wondering, oh, great, is this individual going to be coming to my venue now and, you know, snooping around and whatnot. And you know, let's say they do. If you got nothing to hide, there's nothing to worry about. That means that everything that's come out of that location is legit. But, you know, right now, it's everybody is, you know, at edge. They are wondering, what's the next step? What's going to happen next? And we already have, you guys know this, we already have enough drama going on in the paranormal field. We don't need this crap. Mm-hmm. Like, we need a hole in our head. So this coming out just makes things worse. One thing I did, you know, address about all of this with you guys, maybe it is a good thing. Maybe this is finally going to be the one thing that shakes up the paranormal field, gets rid of the wannabes. And the ones that are left standing when the dust settles are the ones that have always been serious about this since day one. So that's one way of looking at it. But at the same time, there are also a lot of those individuals that were, you know, actually trying to get in this for the right reasons, to learn more. And in the process, they were sacrificed.
Yeah, exactly.
They were sacrificed to the god of gossip.
Yes. And Popeye's had something to do with this. I'm telling you right now, I can smell Popeye's a mile away.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. Somebody got some Popeye's. That's what's got the real deal going on here.
Exactly. What I'd like to know is, how are people going to react once this settles down? Where are people going to fall? Settling down when things are finally calming down. I wonder who's going to still be around when the first big venues start up again.
Yeah, exactly. And it's maybe it's in a way is the best. What it's going to do, it's going to get the fly by night people out of here. You know, it's going to get the people who are just out to gas for straws and everything that comes up's paranormal. Maybe it's just going to get, they'll fall by the wayside and stuff like that. But you know, there's some other people that you know, namely probably the person who brought the stuff to light. This is going to come back and bite them because they have not come out and done it correctly, and they have not exposed everybody that's involved with it, and they've just decided to pick and choose and try to get a little bit of revenge there. And that's just not going to work out for them. I just do not see it ending well for them, or you know, and of course it's not going to end well for the people who have been exposed to all this.
Well, you know, this is going to happen. You know, it tends to happen at least, 400 times a year when it comes mm-hmm. to the paranormal field. I get tired of it, you know, and you guys know my stance when it comes to paranormal drama. I just stay out of it. I'm so done with this crap. Years ago, I was done with it and realized, you know, all I'm doing is just falling right in line with what whoever started the drama wanted me to do, and that's to react and respond. My reaction nowadays, and you guys know my stance, I just walk away. Yeah, I got better things to do. To quote Christopher Walken from, you know, Batman, you know, in the meantime, I got bigger fish to fry, you know, and that's the way it is. There's just, I have no time or energy for this garbage. I honestly think, and this is my opinion, and I reserve my opinion to be just mine. If people want to share it, by all means. I think this is mostly a publicity stunt. That's it.
Yeah,
I would have to agree with that 100%.
Yeah, and it's you know, if it's done correctly, then you can say it's falling in the heels of your predecessor. But if not, then it's going to just turn around and bite you back. Because when you come out with stuff like this, you've got to let everybody know that was who was involved, and that was that. Not pick and choose, protect, sit on something for 8-9 months, and then all of a sudden come out because you're mad that something didn't go your way. That's not how things work, and it's a shame that Cal came out like that. But it's, you know, but it has a silver lining in the part that, you know, some people that, you know, I had suspected of some, well, the previous team they were with were caught doing stuff a long time ago, and then there were some other stuff that they pulled, and then they went and made their own team, and they're the ones who was actually doing the evidence faking. And they, you know, it's good that they got exposed and everybody knows the truth about them. So that's the one silver lining that has came out of all this.
Right. But that's about it.
And sharing the opinion that most this was done mostly for a publicity stunt. I am not saying that there was not true fraud going on at this location, because there was. It was something that's been suspected for a very long time by a good-sized handful of people. It was just a matter of having all of the proof. And I have to say, you know, I don't really know how to say it other than it's really sad that it takes somebody just not getting their way or not getting what they want or getting their feelings hurt to motivate them to actually try to find out, you know, try to get evidence of something that they're, you know, the truth is he's sitting there saying, I knew about this all this time, didn't know what to do, these are my friends, and you have no idea how brokenhearted I am. I'm sorry, if I caught one of my friends doing that, yes, I would let everyone know immediately, because that is just something, I see no integrity, no self-respect, no respect for others in that. That would completely take my respect away for that person.
Mm-hmm.
And I would want people to know, hey, these people are duping you. Would I then feel comfortable to take large radio spots and sit there and rant and rave about it for hours and talk about things that I really have no clue or expertise in and advertise that I'm the next fraud buster? No. If that was someone who was as close to me as being family, I would tell everybody as quickly and thoroughly as I could, and then I would probably go get under the covers in my bed, lock the bedroom door, and cry for a week.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, you know, my question would be, does this location have paranormal activity, authentic paranormal activity? Because let's face facts. If you're selling tickets to a location so that people can go and investigate, there is no guarantee that you're going to capture paranormal activity. Ghosts are not there to perform for our entertainment. And
exactly.
I'm sorry, if I'm a spirit or spirits, let's say there's spirits in that location and you have all these different people walking in and out of your territory, you know, I don't know if I would respond. I don't know if maybe I'd be like, you know what, I'm going to go to the building next door and, you know, hang out for a little while until they all get out of my house, and then I'm going to go back over there. So
exactly.
what's to say that, you know, these individuals noticed that they did have a few events where no one came up with any evidence whatsoever, and they decided to help sell tickets. Well, it's still something that is not commendable. I cannot sit there and say, oh, well, you know what? I understand. I'm going to let this slide. No, it's still wrong. It's ethically wrong. But once again, this is what we've come down to. This has turned into a business, and it should never have been a business from day one. Exactly. This should always have included research, and it should have included helping a client out. Now you got all these public locations, commercial locations that are open to the public, supposedly haunted because it's empty and abandoned and it looks creepy, and they figure, well, let's just start a story around this. Well, if it's not haunted, it's not haunted. If it is, then great. But you can't expect the phenomenon to kick in every time people walk in looking for it.
Exactly.
Well, right. And I personally didn't catch anything at this particular location. A lot of the things that I have seen said by people, particularly the person who's brought all of this to light, is that it is their opinion that this particular location is not haunted in any way because of this going on. Well, you know, I'm sorry, spirits can be anywhere.
Yep.
There are definitely places that have their own activity. I'm not saying there's not. But there are also people who come with their own activity that are surrounded by things. There are people that draw things. There are energies that draw things. And this is, again, all my opinion. But you can't, just like you can't assume that a place is haunted because it's old and empty, you also can't assume that it's not haunted because somebody was there playing tricks on people.
Exactly.
Exactly. But, you know, if you get, the whole thing about it is if you actually got in there and got a real piece of evidence, you got something that you've, you know, you happen to be on the other end of the building, they were faking crap on one end of the building, you're on the other end of the building, you caught this great EVP, and, you know, Class A all the way down the line, you come up and say, I caught this here at this location, how many people then are going to say, oh, well, anything that you got out of that location means nothing because some other people were there faking.
And I agree with that. At this point, with the way this building is made, after having been there and investigated it, with the way sound carries, with the gate you can open and go into little extra areas, with the apartment that's closed off to the public, staircases in the back, absolutely, whether the place is haunted or not, unfortunately, we will never, ever know, because at this point, the building has been closed, number one, and number two, anything, anybody caught in that place, all of you who know where I'm talking about, I personally advise you to throw it out.
Yep.
Yeah.
Completely disregard. And just so people, all the listeners are listening right now, when you go to a location like this, and we're not saying that all locations are just like this place, okay? There are venues out there that genuinely do have paranormal activity going on, but we have to put a big bumper sticker that says consumer beware. You don't know what product you're getting. There's no guarantee. You are paying money to hopefully keep the place running because it may be a historical place. It's about to be torn down. You don't want to see it torn down. That's good. This is like what Anita was addressing at the very beginning of the show. When you have a location that has been closed and you're opening it up to the public, presumed to be haunted, make sure that the money is going towards keeping the location open or to fix it up so that it's not torn down and preserving it for historical reasons. That is the only way that you're going to know whether that place is legitimately, you know, worth giving money towards. But don't go in there paying money expecting to, okay, I'm here, we're the ghosts. This is not a show. This is money that is going towards preserving this location. Period. You're lucky. This is like going fishing. Sometimes you grab a few bites. Sometimes you go throughout the whole afternoon into the night with not even a nibble.
Exactly.
That is paranormal investigating. Period. Get with it.
Yeah, exactly. And it's like we were talking about earlier, and it's another thing if people went to this location and, you know, spend all that time when people go on a four, if you, even if you go on a 4-hour investigation, you're going back and forth, gas money and go up there. You come, you sit, you record your video, your audio, you go through all that stuff. You've probably got 16, 17 hours invested in this place. And right. You go through all that, and you think you got something, so you go back again and do the same thing over again. And after two or three trips, you find that this place isn't, you know, there's been faking going on here. Just think about how much time that has wasted. Somebody could have been doing something else. And resources and money and the black eye it gives it the field, and it just keeps going on and on and on and on.
Well, and there were, you know, a lot of people, too, that really put their names and their asses on the line here for this place.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, that's another thing that's disappointing, too, is to see that anyone and everyone, I mean, I have been in this building, and I will tell you all, it is absolutely beautiful. It is amazing from the outside, and it's amazing from the inside. It's old, it's not in perfect condition, but it is an absolutely amazing building. And to me, it's sad that, you know, people came up to this building and they saw this building and they said, wow, you know, this is great. And, you know, they take these people at their word. This is what you're experiencing here, which, you know, there again, we don't know that the owner of this place didn't experience anything. We don't know that there weren't things going on in this building that led him into all this to begin with. That is not something that's up for question here, really. You know, those were just personal experiences. But we have people who come up and say, you know, I really want to help you. I really want to support this place. And not only are they taken advantage of, but quite a few in the paranormal community want to throw them into the same bucket as these local people who were doing this to turn a buck. And that's one not thing, fair either.
One thing that people need to also realize is that what has actually happened, everything evolves. The paranormal field has evolved over the years. Every year there's something new. Yeah, the more things change, the more they stay the same. But what has been happening here, the trend really of what we're seeing, you know, people going in to investigate huge abandoned locations that on the outside looks creepy and even on the inside looks creepy. It's called urban exploration.
Yeah.
Right.
That is the true essence of what's happening here. A lot of individuals, and maybe this happened in with this one situation that we're talking about. They saw this place, it looked creepy, and they said, you know what? We may have not caught anything, but wouldn't this be a great draw to have people come in here thinking that it is haunted? Let's just plant a few speakers here and there, make it look creepy or this and that. That could have happened. We don't know. At this moment, we're basically speculating. But we need to realize something, that not all of these venues are like that. Okay? Let's not throw the baby out with the bathwater here, because when you finally stop and look, you're going to say, hey, I just threw everything out and there was no need to. You know, mm-hmm. So let's be realistic here. There are places that are abandoned that do have history, have had a lot of traumatic situations in there. There's been energy imprints, what we like to call, you know, it's just energy that's trapped in that location that could very well be considered paranormal. But that doesn't mean that every location is like a tape recorder that you can just hit and bam, you're going to get phenomenon.
Exactly.
Just like I said at the beginning, consumer beware, and just realize that if you're going there and you're investigating with para-celebs, then the reality of it is that you're getting, you know, your money's worth. You're going in, you're actually investigating with people that you idolize, people that you respect. Enjoy your time with them, but you also may get paranormal evidence. There's no guarantee. Mm-hmm. If there is a guarantee, I want to see it in writing, okay?
Right.
And then I'll question it.
That's about like that certified paranormal investigator thing.
There you go.
But it is easy to duke people in, because, I mean, even ourselves, you know, we're running through old towns and stuff. We see these old, broke-down, abandoned houses, and we don't know anything about them. Never heard of anything about them or anything. And the first thing that gets to our mind is like, man, I'd love to go in there and investigate.
Well, and our imagination runs wild with us.
Yeah, exactly. And that's us as paranormal investigators. So I'm sure just, you know, people who just have a slight interest in the field or whatever would just look at it and say, wow, you know, let's get in there. All you got to do is get in there and have an event and say, hey, this place is haunted. I caught so-and-so and so-and-so here. And you got people lined up out the door, you know. And it's, you know, even with knowing that we've gone into places that's, you know, I've heard and investigated new houses, you know, brand new houses. And it's like, you know, they're brand new modern houses and they're just the site they were built on where there were battlefields and stuff there. And there it's, you know, and there was more activity going on there and more problems and needed to get in there and help the family out in there than there was these old Victorian houses, you know. So it was just, you know, it's almost complete opposites. You really got to do, that's when you get doing your investigation, you know, a lot of people, what they leave out of it is doing the history on the whole area there, not just the house. Leave the house out of it. You know, okay, you pull up to the house and it's a brand new house, and you're like, you're thinking, oh my God, you know, this, we're not going to get anything here. I don't think anything's going on, blah, 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 blah. But, you know, it's, you know, I know from personal experience from living in the house that nobody else lived in before my family does, where I had my first paranormal experience out, and there was nobody else there before us.
We can always say that every place, I think it's safe to say that every place we've ever gone to, new, old, it doesn't matter, there is such thing as residual energy. Energy has been proven scientifically. You know, it can be an imprint, it can be left behind. For God's sakes, they've been able to take, and they still can, take pictures of energy, aura. So if that's even possible, if it can even be registered and picked up on our equipment, it does exist. Now, theoretically speaking, we have been led to believe that spirits can actually, you know, interact energy-wise. So the equipment that we use to actually pick up on energy, they can also show up on and register on. That's theoretically. Mm-hmm. There's still no hardcore facts, but I challenge everyone out there, everyone, to prove to me, or anyone for that matter, that science can prove the existence of the spirit world. This exactly. is something that a lot of people don't seem to get. I actually posted something about this on Facebook today. How are we to know that what we have here in the material world can actually prove the existence of spirits?
Mm-hmm.
What if the spirits are actually looking at us, laughing at us, walking in as we try to prove their existence, and they're just sitting back going, these idiots, they don't know what the hell they're doing. And for all we know, now that they're free of this mortal coil, they know more about us. And I strongly believe this personally. They know more about life in general than we could ever dream to know until we're actually free of our body. This exactly. body holds us back. So, you know, and hey, let me tell you something. And with all due respect to Todd, you know, he had his near death. He had his situation with the heart surgery and everything, and of all people that could actually address something like that, you know, would be Todd. And he can tell you the just knowing or appreciating life even more so after something like that. I gotta give Todd, you know, his due respects, man. You know, after what you've been through, definitely you've earned, but you of all people know above everybody else here right now what it's like and how to appreciate life to death and vice versa.
Of course, you gotta, every day you've gotta take like it's a beautiful gift.
Yep.
Live it like it's your last.
Exactly.
Yep. And that, you know, that being said, you know, it's I wanted to get into it a little bit with you here, Rich. We have been, you know, I had a couple of questions I want to ask you here, and it's maybe these people in the chat were wondering the same thing. We've been going and doing some investigating at this location called White Oak Cemetery, and it's a very rustic cemetery out in the middle of the woods. There's been a lot of vandalism going on there. I'm sure you've seen some of the pics we've been posting. We did a little light cleanup project there, got everything looking as good as we could get it looking, you know, with the guys from Pollen Paranormal. You know, that was mm-hmm. great working with them. You know, we got the place, you know, as good as we could get it, and it's still the just about every tombstone there has been taken out, taken off. There's broken tombstones there. The other halves of them been missing. There's no. There's probably two people that's identifiable in this whole thing.
Wow.
There's been, you know, signs of rituals being performed there. We found shrouds out there, very expensive shrouds, black candles, bones, different things inside the cemetery. And
I'd
all
been
that.
There doing a video shoot. Darn it.
Damn you, Todd.
Satanus.
Todd, you left the gag ball and whip behind.
Oh.
You better go pick it up.
Yeah, don't be leaving those anal beads laying around either. But you know, there's a lot of dark rituals and stuff going on here. And
I have to ask one question. Mm-hmm. Are we even allowed to say anal beads?
I don't know. Maybe Todd will have to edit that one out. So
those are just prayer beads for the sickos.
I used the term anal beads as the scientific terminology for that. That did not have any
prayer beads bad for gay people.
Yeah. Anita, did you find some and say, ooh, pretty pearls, pretty pearls?
I'll never tell where I found them.
Ba-dum-bum.
Ding.
Brian, so I don't want to hear another thing about anal beads out of your mouth.
Oh, God.
Beads! I didn't say what kind. Uh-huh.
Oh, goodness. But, like I said, there's a lot of dark rituals being performed out here, and it's we've gone out there and actually seen a lot of you actually catch a lot of stuff out of the corner of your eye here. A lot of bad feelings going on, and I just wanted to know if people are performing dark rituals inside a cemetery and it's a sacred ground, and they summon something there, can it actually come into that cemetery, or will it hang around the fringes of the cemetery?
Well, it's no longer consecrated. It's desecrated. It's been what's happened there is whatever blessings may have been done over the gravesite have been broken through the desecration of these type of rituals. When you're conjuring forward any kind of spirit from the darker realms, be it, of course, through black magic, I don't care if it's black witchcraft or Satanism or whatnot. Oftentimes, what people don't seem to understand is that in order to do something like this, and this is a bit of necromancy thrown in there as well, you need to utilize the actual bones of a dead person. Who knows if they've actually dug in, broken in, and grabbed a finger bone or a toe or a leg. We don't know that. So for all you know, that just may be the remains of someone that was left there. That in itself, all it takes is one gravesite in that whole cemetery. And the whole cemetery is wide open for anything. Mm-hmm. So whatever ritual they may have used, that now, whatever they conjured forward, that whatever has been conjured forward now owns that land. It's no longer, you know, blessed ground. So it's very dangerous. I mean, I'm not telling you guys don't go or anything like that, but just make sure you protect yourselves when you do go in, because you don't know what's, you know, hanging around. You don't know what's been conjured forward.
Exactly. And it's you know, we were just talking about earlier, you know, we love to go out there and get some evidence and stuff like that, you know, and not where you can feel like a lot of stuff's going on. You just feel that energy going on. You usually get really excited about getting out there and getting your stuff set up. Oh, man, I can really feel it going on out here. And we went out there and we just froze and stood around for about 5 minutes and said, you know what, I'm not feeling this. We need to go. And that's a very rare thing for me to do.
And there were between the two times, the time we went out there with the other group and when Brian and I went by ourselves, it felt different, but there was some similar things going on. When we went out with the other group, one of their members, who I won't name, had an experience where he was sort of having thoughts that were not his own. I won't say about what, but he was just having some thoughts that kind of came out of nowhere, some feelings that came out of nowhere that he would have never had normally. When Brian and I were out there, there was the threatening feeling, and at the same time, I remember just not really being able to think or care too much that I just couldn't think. I remember Brian asking me, you know, what do you think we should do? Do you think we should go? And I'm just like, I don't know. And as I'm saying, you know, I really don't know what to think, I could just about feel my heart blow out of my chest, and that's not like me.
Well, Anita, actually, that kind of, you know, you kind of answered your own question. You know that when you're around something darker like that, that's one of the things they like to do is, you know, fog your mind. And,
right.
You know, that right there was your natural instinct telling you there's something not right here and you need to get out. So unless you didn't go in protected, which could be one answer to your question, or something was there powerful enough that could actually affect you, that's one of the things you need to look at.
Right. And mm-hmm. There were, you know, we've seen things out there all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems like every time we go out there, it gets a little bolder. You know, what I saw that night, I haven't really talked about this with anyone but Brian, but what I saw that night just did not look human to me. And it was only for a split second. It was walking away. I tried to follow it with my flashlight. I came back to where it started, and it was just standing there looking at me.
Right.
And it didn't last very long, but it was long enough that I was able to come home and draw this thing. And, you know, my spiritual beliefs have always been that there are other types of spirits that aren't necessarily negative but aren't human either. So that's why I was asking, you know, is this kind of feelings and thoughts that we're having where, you know, Brian and I are feeling threatened, is that our own instincts, or is it something that's trying to be projected onto us? Because I keep wondering, with everything that's being destroyed around this property, what is going on here? Are they feeling threatened and they're wanting help and they're trying to project that to us? What, I don't even know where to begin with this place.
To be honest with you, I've always been one that believes that whenever anyone is laid to rest, I honestly think that, you know, cemeteries are possibly the most calm, peaceful places to be. When a place is desecrated like that, you don't know what's there. If someone's bones have been used or remains have been used in order to conjure forward something dark, I would wager to say that whatever was conjured forward is there and may have brought, you know, help. That's just my personal take on. Honestly, I wouldn't really, you know, go too far into visiting the place too much unless you're protecting yourself. I wouldn't even attempt communication, to be honest with you, because what is more than likely there is no longer the thoughts, the memory, the remains of the dearly departed. Because I don't think they're there to begin with anyways. Once they're laid to rest, they're gone.
Well, right, and I know that there's a lot of debate in the paranormal field about whether, you know, a lot of people have questioned what would a human spirit's purpose be of staying in an empty place around a body they no longer use?
Exactly.
Now, could they... You know, I know that there's the occasional story that makes sense where a woman has died and her lover was buried there and she's waiting for him to come back. You know, there's certain things that do make sense, but for the most part, it really doesn't. If a spirit is going to be earthbound, it's most likely going to be earthbound, I would think, at their home or around their loved ones.
Correct.
You know, or some kind of material thing that they were attached to or where they died. It doesn't make any sense to me for them to be surrounding an empty grave.
Well, something, and you know, not to bring religion into this, but something that I had discussed with Bishop Long a while ago, and it really intrigued me and made me think about things, rethink everything. You know, Christian-wise, biblically speaking, he said, we're given a choice. Okay, you know, even the angels were given a choice. That's why some fell and some remained. But he says, where in the Bible does it state that that choice is removed the moment you die? And it made me
start thinking to myself, because for the longest time I've always had, you know, the influence of my upbringing, which is Christian based, and it's always conflicted with what I do now, which is, you know, paranormal investigating. But it made me think, he's right. You know, what's to say that the person that passed on chose to stay?
Mm-hmm.
It's still a choice. That choice is not removed, and it's not null. All of a sudden, it's not null and void the moment that you die. This is something that continues. So let's say that they do pass on and they go to be with their ancestors in the netherworld. What's to say that they don't have the choice to come back? That choice is not removed. And it really, really was a very compelling thought that he put into my head right then and there when we were talking. And I was like, you know what? It makes sense. It really does. And I think that may answer a lot of questions out there. A lot of people have always wondered, oh, man, being a paranormal investigator, it conflicts with my faith and whatnot. But put that to thought right now and think about it for a minute, and it may actually make sense and answer a lot of questions that you've been harboring over the years. Honestly, in this situation, if you do see ritualistic type things throughout, you know, you know yourself, Anita, you're pagan, your beliefs are pagan, you know right off the bat if something is not kosher, if something looks off, you can right. sense it, you can feel it. If your senses, your gut feeling is telling you there ain't something right here, you're more than likely 100% spot on.
Right, and that's what I was going to bring up earlier was, you know, I had these thoughts of, well, what if this is something they're projecting to us? They need us. You can ask Brian. I said, we need to go back there. I think that they need our help. And I've thought about that. And it's like, okay, my gut instinct when we were actually there both times, just he and I, was to get out.
Well, it's been known that you can actually use rituals to actually conjure forth the dead and have them do your bidding. That could be something that may have happened there.
Right.
And, you know, that in itself, yeah, it could be that. But still, you know, hey, remember, guys, you're on my team too. So just be careful.
Yeah.
Be careful when you do this. That's all I ask, is protect yourselves and make sure that you guys go and protect it. And before you leave, make sure that nothing follows you back. And if I may take the time to also announce a new member to Paranormal Consulting Agency, Anita.
Yay.
She's officially on our webpage, and you can go see her there and read her bio. And welcome to the family, Anita, officially.
Yay, welcome.
I'm very excited.
You're part of the big dysfunctional family now.
Yay!
Officially.
That's awesome.
We got to ride in the short bus.
That's right. Ride on a short bus, lick the windows of the whole nine.
I'm driving it.
Woohoo! Oh, yeah. We're going to have to take you out to this place one time, Rich, and let you check it out. And it's just,
sure.
It's very, it's up there with the, just one of those unexplainable things. There's a lot of, you know, there's just a lot of, you can't really put your finger on it. It's just one of those places you cannot put your finger on what's going on out there. You can't get no answers to it. And, you know, it's just an amazing place, and it's, you know, it looks like it might be coming under threat now, because there's some logging going on back there. And I just hope it never gets forgotten, because there's something going on there. And if it's something bad, you know, it just seems like the place needs to be. I don't know. Anita's got some feelings that almost she feels like it don't deserve it for some reason. You know, it's.
Is there any way that you guys can come across the records of who is buried there and actually?
No.
There's no way. There's no records of this?
The only genealogy records I could find show two graves. And there's a bunch. Now, I will get with Paulding Paranormal, because they had a list at one time that showed that there were over 200. And that's why they think that the cemetery goes farther back in the woods than what we can see, and that all of the markers weren't replaced with the graves, with the crosses, because the wooden crosses and the other graves that are just still partially there make maybe about 70.
I wonder if it's possibly a grave site that was put aside for slaves. We happen to have stumbled upon something like that here in South Florida as well, where they were actually breaking ground to build houses, and they had to stop because they found they found unmarked graves, and they had to stop. And then come to find out that they were all slaves that were buried there. And this is you know, very prevalent throughout the South. So I wouldn't be surprised.
Well, this belonged to the original White Oak Springs Baptist Church.
Ooh.
And yep. The church is no longer back there, but there's a new White Oak Springs Baptist Church. And if anybody from there is listening, please call me back. Yep. I don't know if they own it or not. I have tried to get in touch with these people. No one takes care of this place. That's another thing that we noticed that seems to be really odd, is that there are two other cemeteries off of roads, and all three of these roads are within a mile of each other, running off of the same main one. And those two cemeteries are in pristine condition. And this one is just, no one wants to touch it.
Yep, it's just completely forgotten. And we're just going to go ahead and kill the suspense for you right now. If you're a Baptist and you're listening to this show, you're going to hell, so you might as well quit going to church. But anyway, we've got to get out of here. Rich, it's been great having you on, man. Great talking to you again.
It's always a pleasure, guys.
We'll be getting you back on. We'll be having the Tuesday thing going on here. We've got lots of good stuff heading your way.
Yeah, there's always a lot of good things happening, and I'm looking forward to working with you guys in the future. We're going to be making some trips up to Georgia, and there's a few events in the horizon for next year. I'm looking forward to it. Next year is going to be a good year for the paranormal field. I think we're going to finally pull out of this stupid tailspin of drama, but it's going to take a while and a lot of effort from all of us.
That's right. We got to keep watching each other's backs and keep it heading in the right direction, and everybody get out there and do your part. Just do your part. And, you know, if somebody's doing something they're not supposed to be doing, let everybody know, but do it the right way. Don't sit on it. And, you know, don't protect people. Just come on out and tell everybody what's going on. But we're going to have to get out of here, guys. Great show. It's been great having everybody in chat with you. Thanks for tuning in this Tuesday with us. We'll see you back on here next Tuesday on Parachallenge Radio on jackalope.com. Y'all have a great week.
Stay tuned for Night Watch. Good night.
Parachallenged Radio is a Jackalope Radio production, simulcast on ASPRN. Join us in the chat at www.parachallengedradio.com, or you can go to jackaloperadio.com in the shows area and click on the Parachallenged Radio banner.